Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a friend of the show from Kick It Out, Troy Townsend, dad, of course, of Andros, the Everton winger.
Yeah.
He is, as we said, head of development for Kick It Out. It's always fascinating to listen to. And we talked about a documentary you can hear on Talksport this weekend. Tim Vine joined us. He's on tour as Plastic Elvis.
Yes.
Tribute to the King.
Martin Kellner was on good form today.
Kellner was on good form. He got down with the kids this week, didn't he?
Mm.
And Mike Ward gave us his pick of the non-sporting TV. So we liked all that. We had a bit of a conversation as well along the way. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And congratulations to Scotland for making it to the latter stages of the T20 World Cup. We all know what they're going to do. They're going to lose badly to everybody else, but beat England after trying three times harder than they did in any other game. Well, that's true, isn't it?
That's
what's going to happen.
That is quite possible.
And the Glazers, who are Manchester United, of course,
yeah.
They want to buy an IPL franchise. There's a new one coming up for grabs, and they're going to need a name.
Yeah.
We thought we'd set that for you.
What have you got any suggestions?
Yeah, I've gone with the Chennai Cash Machines. A tremendous team they are. That should be good.
What about non-challengers Bangalore?
Is that
a bit harsh?
No, that's fair enough, yeah. Actually. What a classic bit of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, wasn't it? A classic survival game where it looks like, once again, every time it looks like he's about to get his P45, yeah. They somehow win again. All the other managers, all the other fans
out.
Of clubs that are rivals, you know, I think, yeah, good.
Well, they could easily, like you were saying, you know, Liverpool go toe-to-toe with them. They could easily go there with the threats they have going forward and get a result, couldn't they?
Yeah,
so, you never know. Then it'd be someone else's turn in the barrel next week, not Manchester United.
When Chelsea lose to Norwich.
I wonder, we should do that. Who's turn in the barrel will it be next week? We should try and predict that when you look at the games. Arsenal versus Villa, where it's, you know, people have forgotten it by Monday, so whatever happens in that game, you'll be all right. I mean, if Villa go to Arsenal, win 6-0, it'll be Arsenal in the barrel. Chelsea, Norwich, let's be honest.
Well, only if Norwich were to win.
Yeah, very much. But then that would be seen as a blip.
West Brom game last year, 12:30, Saturday, everybody thought Chelsea. West Brom had 5 shots, they scored 5 goals.
You Palace, know? Newcastle, neither of those sides are going to take their turn in the barrel. Everton, Watford. Everton got a load of, you know, Watford, Ranieri's not after 2 games. Everton have got a load of injuries, so whatever happens there. Leeds, Wolves. Bielsa. Some people might be getting a bit worried about that. Southampton, Burnley. Now they're going to get a pass, I think, probably. Brighton versus Man.
Spurs, if they lose to West Ham, it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, but we're always in the barrel. We're always waiting to climb in, aren't we?
Yeah.
Just every other week, especially after last night. Man, that was poor. I mean, there was a lot of senior pros on the pitch who really didn't step up. And, you know, those sorts of games are an opportunity for players that aren't getting in to say, pick me. And not one of them did. I mean, they're just... Lo Celso, again, no influence on the game, really. Winks was poor. Dele was poor. It was pretty tough.
Yeah, it was. I watched the second half, and a nice piece of potted history from Peter Dury on Willem Causton.
Oh, yeah,
I've completely forgotten about him. So I thought, I was so bored with the game, I thought, I'll YouTube the highlights. First of all, I've got the wrong game.
Yeah.
It ended up in 1999 when Willem wasn't even playing. Stephen Carr scored a... blast.
He did. Yeah, he certainly did.
And then I found the right game, and he was amazing, wasn't he? I mean, that's incredible that he scored those 2 brilliant goals, and then that was his last ever game.
He just sort of disappeared after that. One of many great disappeared Tottenham players. Brentford, Leicester. What an entertaining game that will be. It's not on the telly, sadly, but I think that's going to be a cracker. And West Ham, Tottenham. 2 more set piece goals for West Ham last night. They are sensational. And 2
they're
more headed
well.
Goals.
They've got a good squad.
So we all know good Tottenham are defending set pieces. So if you want to have a flutter, that's not a bad thing to have it on. But that should be an entertaining game as well, of course, on Sunday. But we'll have a good look in the if who's turning in the barrel, is it going to be? Let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And we're interested to find out your Glazer IPL franchise teams. What will they be called? Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ.
Good to see Arsenal pinning their hopes on a 5-year-old. Tremendous.
Well, yeah. I noticed in that, this young kid who's amazing. Everybody's saying he's fantastic and he's doing some training. But they've pointed out, they were very quick to point out, and we'll talk to Troy about this when he chats to us about the documentary that he's made on academies for Talksport. You'll hear on Sunday. That Arsenal have been quick to point out he's not in the academy setup there. You know, you don't start taking you don't start rejecting kids at 4. That would be far too cruel. It's bad enough when they're 8. But
I look forward to in 20 years' time being managed by Jose Mourinho and being thrown under the bus. Honestly, Jose, he's unbelievable, isn't he? Really?
Well, I mean, as you quite rightly said.
I know I've only got 13 players left, whereas Nuno sort of protected the players, didn't he? You know,
he said it was my fault. I picked the players. Yeah, I put them out there. But near Jose, it was not me, Gov, wasn't it? But we will be crossing to Italy very shortly to talk about that. To defeat the Bodo Glimt last night, 6-1, got a bit ugly as it can do. Really, sometimes with 400 fans went from Rome to Norway for the game and were rewarded with that. So that when the players went over to apologise, including Tammy Abraham, I think they got a bit of a volley.
Yes,
so
well, it was a poor result.
It was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport, making a welcome return to the studio. I haven't seen him in the flesh for a while. It's always good to see him. Head of development for Kick It Out, Troy Townsend. How are you, Troy?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting that you're out and about, going back, working with academies, getting around the country. It must be nice to be doing that in person again, to kind of get in front of people and talk to them.
It's amazing. It's amazing to be here, by the way. So thank you for inviting me. But yeah, just being out with clubs again and talking to players in the flesh, you know, the four-letter word Zoom is really a thing that I hope that I can dismiss now and don't have to utilise as much anymore, because it, you know, education is an important thing, and being in the flesh with young players and hearing about their experiences and just telling them, you know, the day-to-day stuff of what happens in the game is so important, and you kind of lose that on a video platform, you know, because you can't see everyone as well. So yeah, I've had some really good visits over the last 2 weeks, and it's like kind of getting back to the norm, which is great.
How do you view Black History Month in the context of what you do day-to-day and the importance of it?
Listen, as an individual, I've never really focused around Black History Month, to be totally honest, because I tell stories 12 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the significance of it, I'm not going to say is lost at all, but definitely it's something that my line of work, I have to talk about the negative history of Black people in our sport for far too often and for far too long. But last year, I thought the Black History Month was a really powerful and important one. just because of what had happened in the summer with George Floyd and the reaction of football and the reaction of many, to be fair, and the way that people wanted to approach the topic, you know, and talk about black history rather than just talk about slavery or, you know, lynching and stuff like that, but really wanting to understand the positive nature of black people and how they contribute, particularly in our field, you know. And I think that had to be a positive, and I contributed to so many different kind of initiatives that were going on during that month that, yeah, it was really, really important. I've got to be honest, I'm not sure I've seen the same energy this year during this period of time. And that may be because other things are going on, but it's an important month to be recognised and for us to celebrate. I think we don't often use the word celebrate enough in football, in sport. So, yeah, let's celebrate those figures and the people that are coming up as well, the next generation who will be providing the next stage of history.
Sure.
I was thinking about you coming in today, and I was thinking that sometimes your work is so difficult because you're kind of preaching to the converted. The people, right-minded people, will never disagree with what you've got to say. And at Brentford and at Chelsea, I've seen people applauding the knee.
Yeah.
But taking the knee. But then there are other places where people are booing in other countries, and you think, this is it ever going to get through to people? I know you have to keep trying, but sometimes you get a bit in despair that you think, you know, as I say, you preaching to the converted. I worry about that.
I am sometimes. And I'm not. I mean, to be honest with you, like the interesting take from you, remember, young players are influenced by what they see, what they hear from prominent figures, and they have an opinion as well, which is often never heard. So they want to understand the real impact of taking the knee. So I was at a club yesterday, and again, because at the moment the conversation is losing its strength, isn't it? It's, you know, it's not as they're taking the same opinion because that's what they hear. But like you say, Andy, the applause that I hear every time I go into a Premier League ground. And the way that people are supporting the players, which is one thing. The raising awareness is the next thing, the education behind it. I don't mind walking into any circle, to be honest with you, whether they're converted or not, and have that conversation. It's whether those people are going to listen to my voice and the voices of many in this space to be able to affect the change that we all want to see. The problem is not just in sport, but it's something that I can influence, hopefully. And hopefully we'll have a more a better reflective kind of workforce and playing side of it and support a fan base that we all want to see, I think, because why should people be victimised for playing football?
Yeah.
Don't understand it.
People in all sports, they get so entrenched in their views and their beliefs and their decisions. And it's interesting that we see tomorrow England play the West Indies in the T20 World Cup. Both sets of players are going to take the knee. England made a decision that they weren't going to carry on doing that. And maybe partly because of what Michael Holding said, he thought it was wrong, and they've changed the decision. Sometimes you've got to listen to people that you respect and reconsider opinions. You don't have to be that entrenched, and they've decided they want to do it again.
Listen, hearing the power of Michael Holding's voice, which should be enough to make anyone reflect on, you know, their opinions in this space. You know, he spoke about the Australians, didn't he, and talked about the fact that they. What have they done since taking the knee, you know? And has there been an education process there? So we've got to applaud people that make that change. But also, if you don't mind me saying, the focus doesn't have to be on the knee. The focus has to be on the message. The message is about change, you know, and it's a message that's going to whoever governs the game as well, who are responsible. We're all aware of some of the stories that are coming out of cricket, and they're not stories, they're factual information and you know, Yorkshire Cricket Club and stuff like that. So it's about, like, let's now make the change that we all want to see. Let's make a game that is free from discrimination and that people can play, can support, can work in, you know, that they don't feel like they're not being heard, you know. And it's a tough situation because there's many people that won't be able to raise their head above to be able to challenge. So the voices of, you know, your Michael Holdings are so important, and to be fair, of England for what they're doing as well is so important. We've seen that in our sport, haven't we? Gareth Southgate, and the way that he talks in this space,
absolutely.
You know, that's leadership. That for me is what we need to see more of. You know, it's the right and he never skips the topic, And I think that's powerful and so important as well.
Yeah, it was good to hear fans applauding Saka as well when he came
absolutely.
Back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No question.
So we should talk about the documentary. Yeah,
this only if you want to.
Yeah, we've got part one, brand new documentary. It's called It Was All a Dream, The Football Academy Journey. Troy's the host. And it's an area, because of Andros going through academy football, that you have a sort of personal knowledge of. And you're around academies all the time. Yeah. We kick it out. So it is a very interesting subject, isn't it?
You know, it's a massive subject that doesn't get spoken about enough in terms of the journeys of going into the academy environment, what the structure is like, what to expect, the impact of being released, being retained, you know, being in an environment that is a pressurized environment for one so young as well. The real focus is on, obviously, young players. And I just think every time I've heard stories in this space, they're either one or the other. They're either the negative story, which we have to tell, by the way, or there's those that are saying, well, no, not all academies are like that, you know. And I just wanted to be able to share stories of people that work within the environment that are going to give a balanced opinion. You know, not all's great. You know, we've got the authorities that are part of the documentary. The journey starts actually with mine. You know, I had no support system when I was going through, and when I got released, it had a massive impact on my mental well-being. There'll be others that will resonate with that story, but there'll be others that also have had a great time, you know. And Andros's journey is not just what you see today. You know, it's being 8 years of age and being released. I don't want to give too much away from the doc, but being released because apparently he's going to be too small to play football.
Yeah.
You know, and there's many
the
a story
emphasis
like
is changing
that.
From that point of view, isn't it now?
Not necessarily.
Really, still going for the strength and the physical?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, physical attributes are... I think they're still there. The technical player, we've always said, haven't we? Why can't we produce the Iniestas, the Xavis, the, you know, the small, low centre of gravity players? But we have got them. So whilst I agree with you in a sense, Andy, yeah, you know, it has changed a little bit. Unfortunately, I still hear some of those stories as well. And how do you know how tall someone's going to grow at 8 years of age? Or is it just an excuse?
You spoke to Les Ferdinand, Jamie Carragher's in there. We're going to hear a little excerpt now with Palace's Eberechi Eze. And he's talking about the sacrifices he made as a child to become a professional footballer.
If you're clued up at that age, then maybe you might understand it because of the influences around you, like the support system that you got. But really, you're just thinking, I can't actually go to that party because I've got a game for Arsenal, or I've got a game for this team or whatever. Like, I would love to go to the party, but I fully can't go because I've got this commitment. And it automatically just starts to, like, put into perspective, what's the priority here? Party's here, I've got to go to the game. And that's it. You don't even have the choice. You try your best to finish the match quickly, speed home, to try and get to your party. You ain't making it. You're not making it. It's done. You already made your bed. You made your bed. That's it. Which is, it's funny, man. 8, 9, 10, you're talking about them type of sacrifices. It's mad. These types of conversations, people outside of football can't fully grasp it. They cannot.
Palace's Eberechi Eze in our documentary. It strikes me, and you see a lot of academy kids when you're out and about, that it must teach them incredible self-discipline, even if they don't make it through the system, some of the life lessons. If you're making those decisions, you know, you certainly when it gets to sort of 13, 14, 15, you want to go to parties and stuff, and you say, no, I can't, I've got to be dedicated, I can't do that, I can't do what my mates do. You know, that is tough, isn't it? But you're doing the right thing for you.
Can I mention Eberechi, if you don't mind? What a positive young man. I spoke to him at the time that he obviously was suffering from his injury and but he was still positive. He still could see the light at the end of, you know, the recovery process. He's had multiple kind of situations where he's been released. And I wanted to tell his story because, you know, we want to show how you can turn your career around and make something in the game. And Arsenal, we mentioned Arsenal there. Arsenal's his club. So being released from Arsenal was a really difficult thing for him. Mm. But, you know, he's talked spiritually quite a lot as well. And I've got so much time for him in the way that he shared his journey. I think his journey will resonate with so many. But just on that point of the dedication to the game, you know, what you have to do at a young age. Chris Ramsey called it the career before the career. You know, you're on a journey. You're on a 12-year journey, possibly, you know, to get to the end goal, and then your career begins almost. I'm not sure of many other young people that will be making that sacrifice. You know, from Eberechi talks about running home from school so that he could be picked up, so that he could make it in time to get to, you know, not hanging around at the end of school. So friendship circles, etc. It's amazing sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice, obviously, for family members as well that are part of that process and journey. Unfortunately, I didn't have that. I didn't have the sacrifice of my mum and dad. You know, Andros has, as we have with our other children. But there'll be so. I just want to raise awareness about the journey and the high bits, the low bits. So we speak to parents, we speak to psychologists, we speak to, as you've mentioned, ex players, current players, so many in the game. But there is a dark side as well, we can't leave the dark side of the game out, because so many have been impacted and affected by the beautiful game as such, you know, in different ways.
So, but he's a he's a classic, isn't he, that where someone's written him off, but now he'd definitely be good enough for Arsenal's first team. He's a brilliant player. They'd love to have him. It is interesting that kids should remember that. You know, and Glenn had a thing with this, didn't he, about taking kids that have been rejected and trying to find a way through for them in the game.
Yeah, Les is an example of that, isn't he? Wrighty is as well. Exactly. You know, you don't have to go through that traditional route. You can still come through.
But there's probably many a story. You know, if we manage to line up, I don't know how many professional players, they'll tell you about the journey and the hiccups and the roundabouts and you know, the potential that maybe they could have fallen away. We speak to Andy Robertson, who talks about that really well, you know, and look at where he is now. Ben White, you know, £50 million signing in the summer. Your value is on you. It's what you kind of believe that you can achieve. And some of the negative comments, it's about parking those and believing in your ability.
Fantastic. Well, the first part is this Sunday, as we said, at 8 o'clock, the Football Academy Journey. Troy is the host. It's called It Was All a Dream, and it's three parts. And if you can't catch it live, then you'll be able to download it as a podcast or listen to it via the TalkSport app. Lovely to see you, Troy. It's
pleasure.
Great to see you again. Give our best to Andros. He's clearly enjoying his football at Everton at the moment. He's flying, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He's doing really well, and long may that continue. Brilliant. We won't talk about the injuries, though.
We miss him on TalkSport. He seemed to enjoy that as well when he came on. Yeah,
really good.
Thoroughly enjoyed himself. I think he was almost preparing his permanent seat here, but luckily Rafa came in and offered him an alternative.
Okay, well, we'll catch up with you soon. Keep up the good work. Thanks very much. Head of Development for Kick It Out there, Troy Townsend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy Murray's been talking about something he regrets, and it is bringing out a rap single, which he did in 2009.
Yeah, I can't remember it.
Well, exactly. It's called Autograph. So, fellas, could we see if we could find it? I meant to ask you earlier on, so we're doing this on the hoof. But before 2:15, we'll see what Andy Murray is so embarrassed about. But it only sold, considering, you know, his profile, only sold 1,000 copies.
It's not great,
is it? Not massive. That'd probably get you about number three these days, wouldn't it?
No reason why it would sell.
No, you don't go to him for your rap, do you?
No, not really.
Anyway, we'll see if we can find
Snoop Dogg's going to win Wimbledon.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it'll make for a very interesting Wimbledon, really.
Well, he's good on grass, eh?
Hey, come on. Thank you. There we are. I'll keep crossing him in, you nod him home.
Now, have you ever, I just booked my booster. I'm very delighted to have done that. I'm proud to say it. But have you ever met anybody who's been vaccinated who said this? I will not reveal my status, whether I've been vaccinated or not. It's a private matter and an inappropriate inquiry. In other words, you haven't had it. That's Novak Djokovic.
As you're calling him. Well, look, the thing is, people have got every right, I suppose, to...
Yeah, but
to
why would you? If you've had it, if you've been vaccinated,
sure.
Why would you not say, I've been vaccinated? What are you keeping it secret for?
Yeah.
Well, unless you're worried that somebody's going to have some Burke's going to come to you in the street and have a go at you or something, but who knows?
Which could happen one of the world's top tennis players.
Yes. I look forward to them coming around my place tonight. After I said that, marvellous.
Now the mood changed very quickly at Aston Villa. Did you see that after last week's 2-0 up, 3-2 down against Wolves?
Yeah.
Because it was John McGinn's birthday, and he brought in cakes.
Was that nice of him?
Yeah. Very nice of him. Yeah. So he didn't just bring in cakes. Dean Smith, because of the attention to detail, he won't just tell us John brought in cakes. He drills down into it. He said he brought in a great array of cakes. We had a nice
sponge cake,
yeah,
a red velvet, and a load of cupcakes. He's basically on the way to training. He stopped at M&S, hasn't he?
No, I think he's done his own baking.
McGinn's baking his own cakes for the boys?
These days, a lot of people are baking.
Well, I'm sure
I made some biscuits this week.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. What a time to be alive. You made an apple pie?
Yeah.
That's good.
I told you that. I was watching... he could be on Celebrity.
You didn't bring me a slice, did you?
No, I should have done, really.
Looking after us the way John McGinn looks after the Villa dressing room.
I think I will next time.
You'll make us a pie.
I'll bring in some of my biscuits next week.
Oh, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? Yeah, don't be having a day off. Don't take any time off next door. Can Bill have one? Are they vegan friendly or not?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Bill. Come on, make a little vegan batch.
Oh, no, they've got an egg
Bill.
In it. They have oil, but they do have an egg.
No, yeah, he can't.
Why not just be a vegetarian, Bill?
Oh, look, don't start bullying people. You're having a... Novak Djokovic is Bill on the decks.
Yeah. Apparently, though, I was watching Bake Off on Tuesday night, and it was an innocent comment from Prue Leith. She said something was delicious, and she said it's worth the calories.
Yeah.
And apparently, you can't say the word calories now because it's triggering for people who've got a...
Yeah,
it's incredible. You've got to be so careful what you say. Handy. I mean,
what worries me is that you're not.
Well, I'm not. Luckily, anything I say doesn't really count. People realise that.
You think you've got to a stage where,
No, if you take me seriously,
you're
got
not quite
a problem.
Dennis Potter swigging from that bottle of morphine. I'd like to remind you. So
I'm definitely not.
Still, the greatest TV interviewer of all time. Taking no prisoners.
Oh, Mikel Arteta. I mean, nobody wants to be abused online. It's horrible and all that. And Steve Bruce took it. Stick, but you know, it's that sort of job. It's in, you know, he's sort of moaning and saying, "Oh, don't abuse managers." You know, it's a bit like the sort of league LMA. You know, it's a great job. It's the only job you can fail in and walk away with an absolute fortune.
It's a level of abuse that goes far beyond what you're supposed to put up with for the money you earn. No one should have to put up with.
You shouldn't have to, but in the end of the day, it's that sort of job. And if you don't expect that, then don't go into the job. I'd say, you know.
I mean, you know, Andy, you're a man, you're nominally a celebrity, although a minor one, and, you know, you don't like it when people have a pop at you.
I don't
do
like it, but it's par for the course, isn't it, if you put your head above the parapet? You know,
should it be? Should it be, Andy? Well, should we not live in a slightly
No, it shouldn't be, it shouldn't be abusive, it shouldn't be racist, of course it shouldn't, but, you know, somebody having fans having a go at you because they don't like the way the team's playing.
I don't think he said that. I think it was levels. I think he was hinting at levels, really, of levels of abuse, type of abuse, personal abuse, abuse of your family. I don't even know you. I don't know your family.
It's annoying. I hate it too. Nobody likes being abused. But on the other hand, you know, it's par for the course for the job, and you have to, I think it's part of it, and you have to just get on with it.
Anyway, that's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
Andy, which you've just had quite told us doesn't count.
Well, it doesn't. Absolutely doesn't whatsoever.
So, let's hear from Andy Murray. This is one of the most embarrassing things you can think career-wise. It's his song, song called Autograph.
It really gets crazy. My hand cramps up and my mind gets hazy. I sign and sign, but the line doesn't end. Wake me up tomorrow, let's do it again.
Autograph. 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 Autograph.
Man alive, that's bad.
That's terrible.
What what possessed him to do that? When I read that, I thought he's talking it up. It's not that bad. No, because he's brought it to everybody's attention. I mean, really? I mean, why didn't he just go in and say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I don't need the money.
He'd have been better.
It might have been for charity.
Had.
I don't know. I'm sure he did it for a good reason. Anyway.
He should have definitely done that.
He definitely shouldn't have done that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Friend of the show, comedian Tim Vine, is on tour at the moment as Plastic Elvis.
Yes.
His tribute to the King. He's a big Sutton United fan, and they're going rather well. So he joins us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're not too bad. Thank you.
I'm sorry I'm not there in person. I know I know. I said I was going to be there in the studio, and then I did my back doing a Move Too Many in the Chatham gig a couple of days ago.
Really? it's those hips, isn't it? If you're gonna swing those hips like the King, you're gonna put something out. A man of your age,
good, is it?
Well, my next the next one is High Wycombe, which is a week from now. But already, I'm beginning to wonder whether I'm going to major on Elvis 77 as opposed to 56.
Yes,
you know, just a little bit less mobility, just to protect it slightly. You know?
Do you do that? Do you sort of move through to the whole of Elvis's career?
No, once the music starts, that's it. I'm unaware of what year I'm even in myself, to be honest.
You're in the moment. You inhabit.
I just move around.
You inhabit the king.
So you only have one. You only have one costume.
I have one costume. I mean, to be honest with you, I've actually thought it's quite hard getting in and out of the costume. I wonder whether I actually may have put my back out getting into the costume.
Yeah. I don't think Elvis ever did that. Did
yeah.
No, I did say to the audience after the it was a song, And I Love You So, which is not a sort of a very energetic song. I said, And I Love You So. and I said to them afterwards, I said, I think I put my back out. And thankfully we have one more song left. And I sang American Trilogy with one hand behind my back. But I got all the notes, but it was a little bit scary. But listen, the show goes on, and the next one's in a week's time.
Then we'll be saying things like, we got very emotional during the glory, glory, hallelujahs. They didn't realise it was pain. They thought it was tears. They didn't realise. You do it's in the outfit you wear is sort of 68 special, the sort of black leather one, isn't it?
Yes, and that's begun to... this is all sounding like a bit of a disaster, but that's begun to fall apart. I turned around. I've done 11 gigs and 11 shows of this Plastic Elvis thing in the last 2 months. So it's had a bit of attention. And I turned round at the end of Fever, and I actually sort of lowered a white scarf over what I thought was a hole in my in the costume at the reverse of my my posterior. So I kind of I was getting a laugh I wasn't expecting, basically. And I said, "What's going on?" And I realised something was. I put a bit of gaffer tape on my bum, and it was sort of hanging off.
Oh, no, it's always just as Elvis would have done. The
exactly.
Yeah, do you do Are You Lonesome Tonight, and that sort of extended talky bit that he liked to do at
yes,
times.
I do that. Yeah, I do that as the people are filing out. No, I do that. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you can get a bit of local knowledge in there. You could do some high Wycombe material, or maybe incorporate some of your quick fire gags in that while you've got the Are You Lonesome Tonight bit going on.
Yeah, no. There's that very funny version that Elvis does of that, where he's kind of going, "Do you gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair and all that stuff?"
Yeah.
Now, and I don't do that because I feel like I'd be nicking Elvis's material to do that.
Well, people have nicked enough of yours.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
I think that would be fair enough, a fair trade. It's true, whether that really extended one that where he just starts messing around. He clearly bored singing the song properly, and he just starts messing
giggling,
around.
Yeah, and he's sort of saying the woman, the high voice woman singer in the background is singing, and he's going, "Sing it, baby," while he's laughing. You know?
Great. So yeah, I mean, it's an Elvis show, isn't it?
Do people come along thinking that you're going to do the one-liners?
I don't do any one-liners, no. But it's not a comedy show as such. I'm humorous between songs, but I'm always in the character of Elvis insofar as I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm doing the song straight. So I don't, you know, people are expecting the barrage of one-liners. This isn't the show. This is an Elvis tribute night, but perhaps accentuating some of the fun side of Elvis, you know.
Yeah.
But the big ones that Hammersmith Apollo on.
Yeah, just saw that. Just before the top Christmas night out of all the old Christmas parties. I think it would be a fine place to go.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a very good point. I must write that down, actually. Yeah, very talented for a Christmas. Yeah. I mean, I've already got Please Bring 2,000 Friends down there on the publicity.
It's a big room, isn't it? It's your Vegas, this one, on the tour, definitely.
Yes. Well, we'd covered everything except the idea that we would perhaps have to put people into the room. That was the only thing that they did. No, it's not very bad, but we need to. It'll be wonderful, you know, to get a few more people there. But that's really the big one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's Friday the 17th of December. Before that, though, you're all over the country.
Yes.
So where are we at the moment? What day is it?
The next Friday is High Wycombe. And then thankfully that's it for a bit until the 17th of December. So we'll give my back a chance to properly heal, I think, so I can get back to full, full moves.
And you can do some running repairs on that suit.
Well, I have a spare suit in production.
Oh, okay, oh, fantastic. Nice. Yeah, Craig says, do you do Kentucky Rain, Tim? That's obviously a favourite of Craig's.
Oh, Kentucky Rain. No,
it's,
I don't.
It's a good song. It's a good song. Okay. Sorry, but still go, Tim. He does. He'll do all the classics.
So you've got a YouTube channel, which what do you do on that?
Well, not a lot at the moment, but no, I mean, I actually throughout lockdown, I kind of really got into it, and I was putting loads of different things on, and I was doing the beginning of this year, I was doing recreations of Columbo episodes, well, scenes from Columbo, not entire episodes. So I'm planning on doing a few more of those.
Yeah. All right. Now, just on to Sutton very briefly. It's going rather well, because it's always a team comes up. You think, are they going to adjust? But they're doing rather well. Your team.
I honestly think I don't want to speak out of turn, but it doesn't look like we're out of place in that division. I would say we even got to the heady heights of fifth. Would you believe we're now eighth? And we lost to Swindon a couple of days ago, 2-1. I wasn't there, but by all accounts, it was a close game. But the previous three matches we'd won, and they were against Port Vale, Crawley and Portsmouth, which are all sort of teams with a history. None of them are slouches, are they? I think they're doing very well.
Yeah, they're holding their own at this level, yes, I believe the slightly cliched phrase is. So you'll have a bit of time maybe over Christmas to go and check out a game. You're not doing Panto, are you?
Yes, of course. I'm not going to... what's that?
You're not doing Panto this year.
No, I'm not. No. Thankfully, otherwise I'd worry about my back. And you'll also be glad to know, having said I'm not coming into the studio to see you guys, that I'm not going to the away match in Rochdale tomorrow. Because if you saw me there, you'd go, hang on a minute.
We want a note. We want a note, definitely. Just a sick note for that one. So, well, fantastic, Tim. Keep up the good work. There's lots of Elvis fans out there. So hopefully
if you guys want to come along, we can sort tickets for you. I mean, listen, lovely. It's... I'm sure there'll be a couple spare somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. You can squeeze us in at the back. Yeah. It's just around the corner. Well, we're going to have a little team night out. So maybe that's it. It's an evening of Tim Viner's Elvis.
Is that the whole team? It's just the two of you.
I think there's four. So we have to work it all out. So all the best, Tim. Hope it goes well. Thanks very much for joining us. There we are. Tim Vine there. So the Apollo in London, Friday the 17th of December. But before that, you can catch him. High Wycombe, the Swan Theatre, next Friday.
We take Bill, but he's a vegan.
But it's not leather, it's plastic.
No, I'm talking about out for a evening.
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you meant the suit.
Craig, you have to be a strict vegan to object to that. Yeah. It's a leather suit, I'm not going.
Well, you know,
well,
some
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
It could sway their decision. He's not leather, Elvis, which sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? It sounds like one of those contraptions that Jack Hargreaves would get out on Hal. And Fred say, what you got there? And he'd have his pipe and he'd say, it's called a leather Elvis, he'd say. And it'd be some hateful man trap, wouldn't it? In the city, and it'd be sort of, Jack used to sit there, and anyway, this is one for the kids, ask your granddad. It's a TV show, kids' TV show,
yeah,
where a bloke would just get this kind of great big metal contraption up there where you could take the leg off a grown man.
Sure, you didn't do that on, what was it, the thing he used to do about...
Out of town. Anyway, we've gone completely off message, and we got the fool's panel to do, so we'll press on. It's Paul Hawksby, and it's called A Leather Elvis with Andy Jacobs and Paul Hawksby, and literally race down to your favourite Green King pub for the USA Grand Prix this weekend. Green King, your home of pub sport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We should salute a Dutch cricket legend, Ryan Tenderscarter. He played a bit of county cricket over here.
Oh, he's a lot of county.
Yeah, of course. He retires today. I think he's not been picked for this game.
Yeah, he's not going well. They're 40-7.
Yeah, it's not going well. I don't think they're going to be making it through. But so that's it. And so the perfect tribute we can give Ryan is this infamous clip with Mike Parry struggling a bit with Ryan Tenderscarter's name.
Who got the biggest score for the Dutch team on Friday night when they beat England? Was it A, Ryan Ten Doschat?
There we are. Yeah. Very fitting tribute to a fine cricketer. Very harsh, but best of luck to him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Annie Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Clips of the week to come. Todd Macklin, Mike Ward with a non-sporting TV, but there's been plenty of sport on TV this week.
Oh, yeah.
And reflecting that, as always, is squad number nine, king of overnights, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. Lovely to be with you.
Yeah,
I have to say, there has been a load of sport on TV. Some of it I've not seen because I've lost BT Sport. Well, you know, I've got Virgin to shove this sort of fibre cable thing, so I'm like 200 megs a second coming through coming through my back end here.
Okay.
So because they've fitted all that, it means I've lost my BT.
Wow.
And of course, I didn't realise that BT Sport was... was attached to it until I started trying to watch the football. But I'll have it back for
the unit.
You missed West Ham last night.
I did miss West Ham. I was out last night anyway, but I did miss it. Another fine performance. But yeah. I'll tell you what I liked. What I wanted to do this week was sort of look at something that I wouldn't normally, in the normal sort of course of events, look at. And I was inspired by John Rawling. You know, our mutual friend, John Rawling of athletics and boxing and darts fame. And he tweeted earlier this week, this was his tweet, he said, after two episodes of Squid Game, I've weighed up its merits and reached the conclusion it is utter dross. Okay. So I tweeted
that'll be wrong,
back.
Of course.
It's a game of opinions, John.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Well, I tweeted him back and saying, you know, call me old-fashioned, John, but I don't reckon you're the target audience for Squid Game. Mm. I mean, what next? Vinnie Jones doesn't like Bake Off? I thought, well, I'd watch something that I wouldn't normally watch. Mm. So I tuned into GINX, if it's pronounced like that, Esports TV.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
Do you know tomorrow is World Esports Day? You are Mr. Zeitgeist, aren't you, Martin? You are definitely kids. Yeah,
is there a day in the year that isn't World Something Day, though?
Almost certainly not. There's World Nothing Day. That's the only one.
I'm celebrating
15th
that.
Of April. Yeah, that's right.
It's usually National Sausage Week, almost.
It normally is, yeah.
But
somewhere
yes,
in the
is.
World.
Absolutely.
So, did you like the GINX?
I loved it.
Stuff?
I absolutely loved it. I see why I loved it. I liked the guys, and they are mostly guys. I'm sure they maybe have women on as well, but they were mostly guys that I was watching, who were a bit like you two. They were just sort of messing about, really. but they were...
Can I just say...
They're probably a bit younger than
the producer said to me last week that episode six of Squid Games was the finest hour of television he's ever seen.
Well, it was about 12. What's he watched? Yeah. The Sooty Show and Squid Game. So what sort of barometer is he of quality on TV?
He has watched the reboot of How.
That's right. We had a deep dive on Jack Hargreaves in your absence, Martin. I thought you would have enjoyed that.
I would have done, absolutely.
Sorry, take us back to the world of esports and why you're a convert.
I just like the guys. I watched a program called The First Hour. When you look at it, it's very much like sort of TVAM circa 1983.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, there's sort of like faux brickwork all over the place and freestanding, colourful shelves. You know, so they're sitting in one of those sort of studios. Mm. The two guys, I took their names, Adam Savage and Anthony Richardson. They were, for some unknown reason, wearing fat suits.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but I rather like the idea of two guys appearing
with
fat suits.
Well, I think the idea of wearing fat suits and then not drawing any attention to it is genius, isn't it?
Well, yeah, although one of them did say it was full of eels, fat suit. So they didn't make really? But
my sap food is full of eels. It was Monty Python, wasn't it?
It was a bit Python-esque, but I really loved it. Mm. Obviously, I don't play the games, but they were talking about Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. This game is just tearing it up right now, they were saying. if you've not played it, where have you been?
Okay.
But I thought the one thing I would say about it is the advertising doesn't seem to match the audience. As you say, the two guys doing it were just marginally younger than yourself and Andy. Just marginally.
Yeah.
But then when you look at the advertising, there was cat food. And
if you're a gamer, you spend a lot of time on your own at home. You think, I'll get myself a cat.
Possibly.
So I think it's quite well targeted.
Okay. What about this then? They're also advertising Select Specs, which is a way for the economically minded person to get...
you sat in front of a screen for 12 hours a day, Martin. They think you'd need a pair of bins? Of course you would.
Well, they've got it just absolutely right. So, but yeah, I did enjoy it. You know, from time to time, just watching something that you have no interest in whatsoever and you're never likely to can be, you know, quite innovative.
So you won't be buying yourself a console and taking on these young guys. We won't see you in a fat suit in the studio anytime soon.
Yes, I probably don't.
Are you recommending the show to John Rawlings?
Yeah, John likes it. I've watched Martin Kelly and it was, he won't like it. Now, I watched a bit of this. I didn't see it all, but I intend to finish it because I was very much enjoying it post the Tottenham Newcastle game. This was the Entertainers, wasn't it? Newcastle.
Yeah, it was just one of those little fillers on Sky Sports. Yeah. But I just wondered, will we ever see another manager like Kevin Keegan or anything, you know, given the ownership of football clubs now? Mm. They had that bit in it where they sold Andy Cole to Man United for £7 million. And then the Newcastle fans turned up at the ground to complain about Andrew Cole being sold. Yeah. And Kevin Keegan came out to... I mean, the Newcastle fans do like to... Because it's right in the centre of town. Yeah. They ought to put it on an industrial estate like Pride Park or something. But because it's in the centre of town...
It's easier to descend on it, isn't it? Lit torches like his Frankenstein's castle.
Absolutely. And Kevin... So they all descend on it. Kevin comes out to meet them and he explains to them that he needs to strengthen the squad as such and he'll need to buy some of this. And he said to them, you've got to allow me to do this. Yeah. You know, so, and I thought it was just fantastic. It was such a memory. I mean, we all remember it from the time. Mm. But, you know, you sometimes forget how great a guy Kevin Keegan was, you know, in terms of the team he built, of course, came up from the second division to the first division and all that. But also in terms of his relations with the fans, and you look at things now, are the Saudi Arabian owners, which are all there, I missed it this morning, Jim White and Simon Jordan being there, because Simon's obviously very interested on this subject. Mm. Speaking of which, I was listening the whole morning, I had a long drive the other day. Mm. I listened all the way through to Talk Sport, because I obviously have it locked on to Talk Sport. So he came up with a phrase, this is Simon Jordan, I mean, he was saying, dollars for donuts. What does dollars for donuts mean?
No, I mean, in terms of the Leighton Orient ownership, I would imagine it's fairly literal, isn't it, really? But but apart from that, dollars for donuts. He is the king of the phrase, Simon. He's got a lot in his
unbelievable
locker.
I loved it. I love it. Yeah. He came
Are you going
up
to start
with
using
one?
Dollars for donuts?
I am. And another one he came up with is it's a set of self-serving scenarios.
that's just a tongue twister, though, isn't it?
I think that was. Yeah. But he said that, and there was a brief silence from Jim, who was sort of arguing with him or trying to argue with him.
Was there someone they were talking to who's got a bit of a whistle in his voice and he was just trying to wind him up? Because you get those people sometimes, don't you?
Possibly that. I don't know. But it was great fun. Mm. And watching Newcastle, the Entertainers, you think, well, you know, this is... they're obviously exultant at the moment over this this investment of the Saudi Arabian people. Yeah. But it's not going to be like the Kevin Keegan days. And obviously Ginola was quoted, very amusing. He was, you know, obviously when they threw away the Premier League title that season, he said, we never parked the bus. No. We didn't even bring the bus with us.
Martin,
but just so brilliant to watch.
Yeah, it's good. I'm going to try and finish it. It was good fun. We're nearly out of time, but give us sort of 30 seconds on You Guys Are History on Sky Docs.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was about, I didn't realise this, the number of black professional cricketers has dropped greatly in the last 25 years, according to this programme. But it was a sort of look back at how you know, we got people like Mark Butcher, you know, semi-on test matches. There was a lot of Phil De Freitas, who was very, very moving, actually. We talked about, because it's hard to imagine when you look at somebody from the Windrush, or a son of the Windrush generation, if you like, putting on an England cap and seeing how that affects your parents who've put up with everything they put up with, and we know all about Notting Hill and all that when they came in the 1950s. And he just sort of the tears just started. Is he going to cry? And of course, he just sort of stemmed the tears a little bit. It was very moving, actually, very moving indeed. And if you just want the history of, because I presume it's because it's Black History Month, well worth catching up on.
So that you can download that on Sky Docs,
Sky Documentaries, it's there now.
You're back overnight, Martin, I understand.
Indeed I am, apparently.
Excellent. 1 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, always look forward to it.
Overnight tonight and tomorrow. And we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much.
Excellent, cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, there's lots of sport. We've got the Cricket World Cup, of course, loads and loads of football for you here on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. But now and again, you like a bit of a break from all the sport.
Oh, yeah.
Something a bit more relaxing, potentially, such as the Earth being inhabited by aliens. Here to tell us more about that is Mike Ward, Brighton supporting TV reviewer for The Star. Good afternoon, Mike.
They don't bother me, those aliens.
Yeah, it's not based on facts, is it, really?
It's not entirely based on facts. This is an invasion, new thing on Apple TV, which arrived today. First three episodes of 10.
Right.
The world is indeed being invaded, well, fictionally, being invaded by aliens. I don't know why. I mean, in all honesty, you know, isn't our planet meant to be in a bit of a bad way? Why would you choose this one? All the planets going. Let's go for that one.
Whereabouts where do they go to first?
It's quite nice.
Well, they go everywhere. This is the thing. It's set in multiple locations. So there's a little bit set in Britain, there's a bit set in America, Japan, Afghanistan, and outer space. So it hops around a bit. You have to pay attention. But effectively, what's going on for the first three episodes is all sorts of strange things. You know, sudden storms, eruptions, fires. Things dropping out of the sky, craters opening in the ground, but random spontaneous nosebleeds. Have you noticed you get quite a lot of those in sci-fi things? People get sort of random spontaneous nosebleeds, which has some ominous connotation.
It's always a sign of something fairly ominous.
Yes.
That's very true.
I used to get it a lot when I was a kid with hay fever, and it doesn't get much worse than
that. That's not much of a Netflix 10-parter, though, is it? Mike Ward's hay fever.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. So it's actually really good.
Okay. Sam, I'm a big fan of Sam Neill.
Sam Neill's in it, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of characters that, you know, across all different locations. They have no common link whatsoever to begin with, apart from the fact that their everyday lives are suddenly going to be turned upside down by things they don't understand. I've got through the first three episodes. Nobody has yet twigged that it's an alien invasion and we're 3 hours into it. So if this was a film, you'd be looking at your watch and thinking, come on, you know, where are the little green men and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but it is good, honestly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
So that's Apple TV, and they're releasing them one, about as much as they did with Ted Lasso, one a week, yeah? Is that right?
One after these first three, yes.
Right, okay.
So every Friday. I could do you a Friday update for the next 7 weeks.
I'm going to certainly check the first one out if I can. Tonight, BBC 4, 9 p.m, another excellent music documentary. This one on Frank Zappa.
I saw
Frank Zappa once, and he did about 3.5 hours non-stop. Didn't stop.
Did he
just
really?
Segwayed each song.
Hot Rats is one of my favourites.
Yeah, great.
I'll be honest, I know very little about him. I picked this out because I just thought it was fascinating for some, you know, I like dipping into stuff that's sort of, you know, I haven't really looked into for us. And it's I think this came out last year, didn't it? And it was a very popular documentary.
Yeah.
It's explaining, there was nobody quite like him, I think it would be reasonable to say, from a musical point of view, in terms of range and unpredictability and diversity. Would that be reasonable?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I mean, he's incredible musicians that he would bring together, and it was, you know, I'm sure they've got quite a lot of the band members in this talking about what it was like to work with him.
And there's a lot of, sort of stuff that's been dug up from the archives, his collection, unreleased stuff, and interviews, etc. So I think it's you know, if like me, this is all relatively new stuff to you, it's a good way to sort of understand why he was so special.
Amazing lyrics, such as "Don't go near the yellow snow because that is where the huskies go." There we are. You get this sound advice as well.
Yeah.
So that's 9 p.m. BBC 4 tonight. We won't do Strictly because we've talked about it. But Jonathan Ross is back for another series, and Joan Collins has been having a pop at William Shatner, so that's had a bit of traction today.
Yes, absolutely. poor Kirk.
Yeah, that's right. She said, she called him a fool, didn't she, for going into space?
Yes.
Yeah, a bit harsh.
Well, it's a fair. Well, he's been doing it for a while. I mean, it's a bit late to start having a go at him for that.
And Brian Cox is on. Is he
the actor Brian Cox.
Oh, well, yeah, because Succession's back. So
Succession's back, but also because next week, it's not because of next week, it's a different Brian Cox. He's probably not going to try and be both Brian Coxes on the same show. Although it would save on the budget from a booking point of view. Yes, so we can talk
Alex
about
Alex Scott and Rob Beckett
Alex
as
Scott
well.
Is doing Who Do You Think You Are next week, so she's on talking about that. And if it was the other Brian Cox, he would be talking about Universe, which is a new thing starting next Wednesday, which is all about, not surprisingly, the universe.
The universe, yeah.
It's quite a big sort of overwhelming, wow, do you, where do you begin type of programme. Right.
Well, before that, though, that's 8 p.m. on Sunday evening, a show that Andy very much likes, and our producer, John. Escape to the Chateau is back with
Dick and Angel.
Dick and Angel, yeah.
An action-packed series full of family adventures, or I'm just quoting from the press release, awe-inspiring renovation projects, big reveals, and a magical Christmas special bringing a warm hug into our living rooms. I couldn't have put it better myself, which is why I didn't try to. But, yeah, I do love a bit of Dick and Angel. And there's
I once said on this show that Dick Strawbridge was the man I most wanted to be in the world. And he sent me a nice message, didn't he?
Did he let you be him for a day?
No, not really.
Pull up the Strawbridge. We were trying to come up with TV formats for him.
That's very good.
I don't know what it is, but
no, that doesn't matter.
That's never stopped people making things, is it? Really? No. Now, Joe Lycett versus...
That and Bill Gates, I forgot to mention.
Yeah, you want
to
be here, that's right. Joe Lycett versus the oil giant, 9 p.m. yes. Channel 4.
Yeah. Joe Lycett obviously does all his consumer stuff on his usual Friday night show, but because of the whole climate change conference coming up, next month in Glasgow, he's taken on a particularly big challenge. He is not a great fan of Shell, and so he particularly dislikes the implications of their advertising implying that they are 100% sound from a green point of view. He's querying that on quite a spectacular scale, talking to climate change specialists, but also trying to get that Shell's side of the argument. I haven't been able to see this. There isn't a preview available, but apparently Shell were not terribly cooperative in the making of this programme.
They weren't available. So that's 9 p.m. Channel 4. The big thing next week is Monday night, BBC One, 9 p.m. A new Stephen Merchant, co-creator of The Office and Extras with Ricky Gervais.
This is really, really good. The Outlaws, six-parter.
That sounds good, actually.
It's a bunch of disparate characters, minor lawbreakers who find themselves doing community service in Bristol, just renovating some old community centre. Christopher Walken's in it, Darren Boyd. It's a whole bunch of really good characters. And it's a bit like when you watch something like those Kay Mellor things, like The Syndicate or In the Club, where you've got a good ensemble
cast. Piece, yeah.
Good lines for everyone. It's funny, but it's got a good storyline as well. So there's a bit of comedy drama rather than just straightforward sitcom. But it's lovely stuff.
Excellent. And confident the weekend, football-wise, Brighton?
Well, if you can get a 0-0 draw at Carrow Road, anything's possible.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, thank you very much, Mike.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again on Monday. Pour over the weekend's football, as we always do.
Yeah.
And, Andy will be alongside me. What else was I going to say? The Clips of the Week podcast is also available from where you got this one. So if you'd like to have a listen back to the Clips of the Week, if you missed them, they'll be here too. But for now, have a great weekend, and we will catch up with you on Monday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.